Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back here for the 8 o'clock hour. Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle is going to join us. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him, get an update on what he thinks is going to happen, how this thing's going to play out. We're still waiting to find out who the Texans are going to hire for the – who's going to be the head coach. Is Eric Bieniemy going to get the job? Are they going to go a different direction? And then we'll find out if there's going to be any changes, if he thinks there'll be any changes in the organization. And after all the things, and Jack Easterby, who we've gone from never talking about this friggin' guy to now a big player in the front with the organization, with the owner, Cal McNair. So we'll have all that stuff coming up, get you try to figure out some of the things and what Houston's thinking and what their media thinks will happen up there with one of the most talented 25-year-old quarterbacks in the NFL. So we will have that coming up. Hey, listen, man, I know people are getting all fired up about, look, either you get a card, it's cool, like good. If you do decide that if you're more than a hat trick person a year for the cards, and I'm talking about birthday and anniversary and Christmas and Valentine's, I get it. It's fine. I just stopped a few years ago. I just realized that throw it in with whatever I would get her, and I just stopped. If I would have felt, and 305-567-056, I'm just curious. And here's what I don't care what your comments are, but I do want to know your age. I do. And just your age and whether you get cards or not. And by the way, I've been blown away because Zach's reading them back there, and it sounds like a lot of you still buy cards and are still big believer in the card with whatever else you're doing. Some of you get creative with it. Right. There is cute, fancy cards that open up, and half the city of Miami pops up in them, and music and dancers and everything else, to just a little basic I love you, you know, a little I love you card and what you mean, and a little romantic card.
68, yes, definitely. 63, yes, I still buy cards. Takes a minute to pick one out. Come on. Here's a good one.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. It takes 1 minute. Like, all right, let me just go get it. Here, that one looks good. Man, wow, that's great.
Well, it doesn't take very long to read the card and see what's in there if you like what it says. Been married 30 years, and the wife gets pissed if I spend $5 on a Hallmark card. No bangy-dangy, so I pass on the cards. Okay. You're not getting bangy-dangy for buying a card. On, don't buy
Wait
a card.
A second. Like, did you get me a card? I told you not to get me a card. Do not even come around me.
Right,
don't try rubbing up on me in bed tonight.
Seems a little
No,
far-fetched.
Just yeah. Don't. Look, just cause I know you just took a shower and you put some nice cologne on. Don't think that I'm giving it up tonight. No, Charlie, you're done.
You bought a card. Right.
I just think perhaps there's some other underlying
issues
there.
Right.
I don't think it's the card that set her off.
Oh, man.
53, yes, I still buy cards. The other one said my wife's got every card I ever gave to her. It's special to her, so I have to buy one.
That's amazing. We had a couple of people.
My
I know
wife
one
does
thing.
That, too. My wife does that, too. She's got a box in the closet, in like the playroom
Not
closet.
Well, you know one that was cards. Surprising? Tough guy Victor Bermudez texted me. Like his
yes,
wife
he did.
Has
yep.
a collection of like old movie ticket stubs that they've...
They've
what?
Been together. Well, also remember that this is not your, you know, kind of normal relationship. They've been together since they're like 15.
Well, that's right. Victor's been dating her since she's like 10 years old. You're right. They're like in the fifth grade when they met.
Yes. The movie ticket stub was from A Night at the Roxbury.
Right. He texted me that picture too.
You know that movie?
No.
Someone where they dance with their heads sideways with Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell.
I mean, we're talking a long time ago. When was that in the movie theater, Hollywood?
Night at the Roxbury is one of the all-time films. Like, it's just a fantastic
film. Please don't do a bunch of Vic stuff this morning. Like, Vic's getting way too much time on the show.
No, but in
I know everybody, you guys all like Vic.
To Vic and Zach, my wife does have a thing, too, where she keeps old stuff.
Right, cards. Right, or old stuff.
Well, I haven't given her a card in many years.
Right, so she can't keep those.
I gave her the one with the picture of the kid and wrote, like, a little note in it.
I got to tell you, now that I've had time to kind of clean things out, nothing against any of my children or cards through the years my wife's given them, but a lot of them have disappeared. I let it go. I've moved on.
58 always. I do write something personal in the card, not just sign it. Hey, Joe, I'm 36. I haven't given my wife a card in 9 years. I let my words speak for me. Wow.
There you go. See, that's me. Yeah. Thank you. You said it better than I did. Thank you. Whoever you are.
Man.
No, it wasn't like, dad. Like, hey, honey, I friggin' love you, and it's your birthday, and it's going to be special, and I friggin' love you, and I love you again.
Yeah. Joe to his wife on Valentine's Day, quote, thanks, man. Joe, you should give the girls downstairs a card apologizing for the station bathroom etiquette.
By the way, one of them went in there and sat down yesterday. I sprinted around the corner. Because I was like, she's going to start figuring out which one of the idiots here in the morning did it. I don't want to say which one. And she came out. That door was locked. And I thought, because I thought they'd all been walking back to the female bathroom in the back, the ladies' room. And I realized, uh-oh, they had a short break. And she took the quick one. And, oh, that's a mess in there. I sprinted around the corner. So the first guy she's going to see is Kenny at Magic 102.7.
Poor Kenny.
It's Kenny.
Right.
No, Kenny's got a bunch of girls at home. His wife kicked his ass.
Oh,
I guarantee you he lifts that seat when he's done. Or before.
He might just pull it off. Right. He might just pull the whole seat off. I'm 50. I buy cards for my mom, sister, and fiance because they like them. I write my own words in there as well. I'm 35, been married 7 years. Yes, she still expects a card. And about 4 years ago, I got called out for never writing my own words in these cards. So now I feel like I'm writing the same damn thing every year.
I might have got called out a couple of times. I could see that one. I just do everything at last second, and so
you sure do.
I just figured certain things you can't break habits on.
Can I read a text that just came in, by the way? Not on the text machine, the personal one here. Joe just lets his actions speak for themselves by forgetting his anniversary.
Right. Joe's probably not the greatest.
I will tell you, whoever through the years, there's one special person here.
Omar. I think the guy's name is Omar.
Whoever it is that remembers my anniversary every year, I want to thank him. But I just want
to email us.
Yeah. And I do appreciate it. And I have one daughter that reminds me. One of the three daughters reminds me, hey, it's your anniversary, Dad. Don't forget.
It's incredibly difficult to remember all these dates, though. It really is.
Whatever, man. I'm not very into this stuff.
I made her a calendar. You know, you can go on like the CVS photo website and you can make a calendar.
Yeah.
So I put all the pictures of the kid every month and I put the little dates on there. I put the birthdays and I put the anniversary on. It was Tuesday this week and I actually put it on the wrong day. Oh, I put it on the 20th instead of the 19th. She goes, you know, our anniversary is on the 19th, not the 20th.
She just seems like she's pretty flexible, though. Like, okay, whatever.
Except you messed up the date.
No? All right.
Jeez.
No, she's cool. Yeah. But that's a bad mistake.
You know what, though? Everybody's different on these cards. And some of you guys are getting cards for every female you know. You're killing us, man. You're just killing us by getting them for everybody.
Joe, I've been with my wife 27 years. I'm not buying her Jack Diddley squat other than a nice dinner. Jeez.
That's what I do, but I'm not saying that.
Right. Good God, sir. Thank God your wife's not listening or reads your text. I'm not even upset about the sentiment from that, but holy moly.
You don't have to.
Diddley squat.
You don't have to be a tough guy about it. We're just talking about it.
Right. I mean, Joe admits it. He's not going on the air going, I'm not buying her Jack Bleep.
She'll get nothing and she'll like
it. Right.
And I picked a friggin' restaurant out. You don't. And you'll like that big steak you're getting tonight.
Oh, God.
Baked potato loaded up.
Here you go, Joe. 45 here, happily married for 20 of those years. We stopped doing cards 5 years ago. They just sit on the table for a week and throwing out flowers and balloons are better.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
That's 39 years old.
Flowers and balloons sit there and get thrown out too.
Right.
Same thing.
By the way, go to Publix and buy a balloon. It's $8. You might as well buy the $5 card.
The flowers are just...
Flowers are nice, but
they last a few days.
Right.
But they're important few days. Like, she really likes them.
Here's one, Joe, that makes me laugh. 39 years old. Of course, I get cards. What are we supposed to put the gift cards in?
Yeah, that's true.
That's funny.
I wish we had more people saying that. That would be one like, yeah, everybody gets one, and I put, you know, her favorite store she likes to go to. And...
Yeah, but all the gift cards come in little envelopes now. You write from, and that's it. Right. Bang.
Yeah, done. But you put a card. It looks like
you just write their name on it. Done. Mm. That's the only thing people care about is the amount of money on the card.
I don't know how Dina B. thought of this today, but she was out during a break. Very seldom happens. I was down there grabbing another coffee.
What do you mean very seldom happens?
Right.
Where I see her. I don't always see him. The breaks are everybody's stuff.
You run laps around the building every single break.
I do.
Like
I don't
like
sit here.
The Iron Man running around here.
I do. I can't sit. I have something wrong.
Got to get those steps.
Bro,
in.
I got 1,000 steps in this morning. It's great.
But she was a
thing on your wrist.
She was jacked up about this. Like, she's working with a young guy, and he says, no, I don't get my girlfriend anything or anybody else.
Jack Diddley squat. I'm 42. I buy cards because making her happy for $5 is an easy win. Doesn't matter if you think it's a waste, Joe. Easy wins are easy wins.
But wait a second. So time out. Like, that's why this thing's about ready to come to a halt. If it was important to her, I've said that. If it meant, like, look, there's not a lot of things important to me, but that friggin' card down the street is really important. It's really important where you go pick up your blood pressure and your blood thinners and all the other things you take. That card is really important. Four times for all the big ones, I need a card. Then I get it.
Right.
But she's not like that.
No.
And if you have that wife to. That's like that, then get them. And it's great. Right. I get it.
Right. I like this one, Joe. Thanks for the card talk. Reminds me of the wife's birthdays next week.
See, we helped somebody. Finally, helped somebody.
Right.
This damn dysfunctional show here. It's good. All right, listen, we got a lot more. Aaron Wilson's going to join us from the Houston Chronicle, Texans beat writer. We're going to talk to him, you know that one topic. I tried to I'm even trying to tone that topic down. No, not Tua, Deshaun Watson. And all the talk about an unhappy, really talented 25-year-old quarterback. And is he going to stay? Or we'll find out if he thinks this thing could really happen where they trade him. We'll have that for you coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. I know a lot of you out there are very frustrated with your mortgage company right now. I know some of you are frustrated with the bank. I want to tell you a guy that you can really trust that will get you approved quickly, going to work his butt off. You can get a hold of literally 7 days a week, and they start working for you. One of the frustrations of the bank right now is not getting answers you need quickly or not getting approved quickly. It's taken a long time, especially with the refinancing and fixed rate mortgages as low as they are right now in the twos. Well, Michael Kotze says, I can do everything the bank can do, but I can do it a lot faster and I can give you a lot better service. And that's really the biggest thing. Michael Kotze is really, really good. Even if your credit score has taken a hit over the last 7 or 8 months. You've had to be a little slow on payments with stuff. Don't worry about it. Everybody wants to save money every month. You need to refinance with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Maybe you just want to buy. You know, money's a lot cheaper to get right now. You've been renting for a long time. You found something you like. You want to buy. Go to Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Any question you might have, this is a guy to go to. He and his staff are going to help you. He's been in business since 1994, AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 166254. Here's his number. Listen, 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. Call or text. That's Michael Kotze's cell phone number. He'll get right back to you or he'll answer. And listen, if you didn't write it down, just remember the name Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. All right, welcome back here. Trying to track down Aaron Wilson. I always wonder when we have somebody in different time zone if they get the right time zone to the time to call. So we'll try to track him down and see if we can find him. A lot of stuff coming out of Houston about Deshaun Watson. And obviously, we know he's not happy. Waiting to see if Eric Bieniemy gets his job or somebody else. They've obviously interviewed a lot of different people. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him. Meanwhile, we got two good ones, man, this weekend. Two really, really good games on Sunday. I expect them both to be good games. I don't think anybody's going to get blown out. And here we go. And, boy, I'll tell you what, man, the commissioner, who, by the way, the NFL, for not being perfect, listen, it's not perfect times, and they got some things they obviously still have to take care of as far, in my opinion, as far as black coaches. This is a bad, bad look with all the amount of really quality coaches. And a lot of guys going to get shut out here. And again, but I will tell you, getting all these games in through this pandemic has been one of the most unbelievable things. And even the doctors who work around the teams every day, I think have been really, I mean, some of those doctors weren't sure we're going to get half the season in and were wondering how this league was going to do it and how long would they play it out. And talked about taking a week off for the whole league to try to get guys healthy and healthy enough to have games. And instead, they got it done, man. There were a lot of guys missed a lot of games, but they got it in. And now they've had some really, really good, attractive playoff games. And listen, throwing the football and having a lot of offense is good. Like, it's good for the game. The old days of the rough, tough, you know, defensive-minded games, I know a lot of you probably maybe still like them, you know, running or can't run and low-scoring games. But these teams, they can get after it now. They can score. These teams are all 30-plus points per game, and there's only like five of them, and we got four of them playing in this, or almost four of them. Kansas City's just a tad under 30 points a game, but they should be really good. You got four really, really good quarterbacks. Hell, Brady might be the greatest of all time in what he's done in conference championship games, and he's playing against a guy that's going to win the MVP in Aaron Rodgers. So we've got some really, really fun games. I am really looking forward. It's a great time of year, and I'm saying this. They're going to get monster numbers for this stuff anyway. Hey, you ready to go to Houston, Zach?
Yes. Let's jump out to that Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and let's talk to Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle. He was with the Baltimore Sun covering the Ravens before that as well. Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to the madness down here in Miami. If you don't have enough in Houston, welcome to Miami with the Deshaun Watson madness.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Hey, can you just, Aaron, give us an update on the – we get that Deshaun Watson isn't happy. How bad do you think it is right now, and can it be repaired with the right head coach and coordinator?
Right, yeah, it's not just about the coach or the coordinator. It's a larger, deeper issue. It won't just, you can't just appease Deshaun. I'm told it runs very deep, and it's because of the owner, and he is upset with him. He feels like he broke his word, and they had met several times. He was told, they even had a dinner meeting, and he would have some say, he would have some input, whether that's a good idea, you know, that's debatable. Most teams don't do that.
Right.
I know when I covered the Ravens, Ray Lewis would make suggestions, and Ozzie Newsome would tell him, thanks, Ray, that'll be about it. They would do what they wanted to do.
I'm a really good GM, but thank you, yeah.
Yeah, I think Peyton Manning did have some juice. You saw Tom Brady was able to influence some things up in New England with regards to having his trainer around and the whole TB12 stuff. But, you know, every year he was mad about something about personnel and which player wasn't back. And Bill Belichick is not going to listen to a player. So, yeah, it was not a good idea. It was really a terrible thing to do. It's one thing to, you know, ask him a couple of questions, but it's another – he wasn't going to let him ever – you know, pick the coach or pick the general manager, but for Deshaun to find out on social media, it really hit him the wrong way, because it was the same thing that happened with DeAndre Hopkins, and all they would have had to do is tell him, hey, we want you to learn about this in the media, that you're
right,
might not going to like this, but this is happening. and they didn't. So the communication is really poor, and you need to have excellent communication with your top players. You want to have that buy-in, and they don't have that. So, yeah, it's not just about do they get Eric Bieniemy, or, you know, he wanted them to interview Eric earlier. They kind of waited a while until Nick Caserio was in place, and then they requested him, and then they never interviewed Rob Saleh. They never put in a request. That's another coach that Deshaun was interested in that wasn't on the Corn Ferry list and then didn't get on the Nick Caserio list and then, you know, wound up getting the Jets job. So, yeah. Which is one of the teams that he's, along with Miami, that you always hear about connection to Deshaun and the trade scenarios. So it's a very chaotic situation, and it could lead to him not being here in the off season. It could lead to, you know, if you're Nick Caserio, you have to, you know, you get calls about it. You have to think about, do I want to make him available? And to emphasize, he hasn't waived his no trade clause, so he can pick where he wants to go and, you know, veto any potential trades and essentially pick his own destination. That's a lot of leverage. That was smart of David Mulugeta, his agent, to have that put in there. And it's worked out well for them because they have that leverage. And then if you're the Texans, you have to decide, do we want to do this, or do we think we have any chance at reconciliation? And I've had people joke with me, you know, that if you're Cal McNair, you might be like John Cusack and say anything, holding the boombox up in front of wherever this John is. Get on the, fire up the jet, go to first, well, it was Cabo, where he was on vacation with his girlfriend, Jilly, celebrating her 25th birthday. And then he went to New York. And I believe he's still in New York. He went to the Brooklyn Nets game, and he gave his business manager, Brian Burney, who does a great job getting Deshaun, a lot of endorsements and marketing deals, and a big part of him getting the cheesesteak restaurant, along with David Mulugeta, his agent. He's got a couple franchises down here, and they're going to have more expansion with Lefty's Cheesesteak, which is a strong franchise he's part of. And then he's just, you know, he's upset, and it's not just about him. It's he speaks for the locker room, because lots of players have talked to Deshaun about how they feel about things. So, you know, he's being a leader. I talked to one of his teammates this week, Charles Omenihu, and Charles said, you know, Deshaun, he is being a leader, and he called it greatness. So the guys stand behind him.
What do you think is going to happen? You're there. What's your gut?
I think it'll take a long time for it to thaw, and I think it'll just at some point in the off season, because it's not, I know some people have made assumptions, so this is the agent, this is a flex, this is posturing. No, it's really serious. I think what happens is at some point Deshaun Watson decides he wants to play and he wants to be around again, and I don't know when that is, because it's hard to predict someone's mood, and I haven't spoken to him directly. I have spoken to his camp, I've spoken to the team. But it's going to take Deshaun deciding that, making that decision. Until he does, until he makes that decision, until he has that feeling and he feels assured, then you're not there. And I think the big thing, one thing they can do, it's not about what coach they hire, whether it's Leslie Frazier, whether that's Eric Bieniemy, whether that's Matt Eberflus. It's about getting Deshaun to feel confidence in them. And I think that even if they don't, if he doesn't return the text, they should definitely text him before they make a hire and let him know.
And yeah, that'd be a good idea at this point. That'd be a real good point.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to CC him on whatever's happening. But, I mean, the one thing, too, about, you know, when you make a hire, though, as you guys know in this business, so if someone's getting a job, so once you negotiate with the agent, I mean, an agent can leak that to anybody, and he could tell me, he could tell one of these national guys, that a lot of these guys that represent coaches tend to, like, sort of broadcast it to their, I mean, it's a victory for them, so they can broadcast it as fast as they can. The information isn't controlled for very long once you have an agreement. So it's, they probably would need to just tell them even before they make the offer, like, hey, we're going to offer this guy a job. We think he's going to take it. I would, you know, whether he replies to those texts or not, just make sure that you let him know. And then he can't say, well, you didn't even tell me.
Yeah.
I think that's a key thing for them to do. And that's something that I believe they will do. But we'll see what happens. It's, you know, They're not at that stage yet. I think that they're getting closer here. They are, of course, the only team left. They were the first one to fire their coach, Bill O'Brien, a fair one for a start. Now they're the last team to hire their coach. They still don't have a coach.
Aaron, I got to ask you this. Jack Easterby, I believe that's his name. What is the story with that, and how did this come about that he might be the cancer that even Andre Johnson spoke up about? I mean, Andre Johnson doesn't talk at all, and all of a sudden he comes out and rips this guy. Hopkins agreed with him. Like, what's going on there with him?
Well, yeah, Andre, he was on the staff for about a year with Jack. He was a special advisor, and he would help the team with wide receivers. And I think, you know, Andre, I talked to him after he left the team back in middle of training camp. I found out he's having a charity event, and I noticed he hadn't been in practice. So myself and television reporter Mark Berman, we went over there and we talked to him, and he said it was the hours that he didn't want to, you know, be there all day and that kind of thing. He wanted to be around his family, around his kids. So he didn't ignite anything. Really, it was not super controversial. But obviously him and again, I was told he had a bad feeling about Jack Easterby. He didn't like his interactions with him. So went off something about the articles, the press coverage with Sports Illustrated, which frankly has been kind of obsessed with the guy. It's not a very well-known executive. I've had people say to me, really? They want to write 7,000 words about Easterby? That's ridiculous.
Right.
And not everything in there is true. I would tell you this. What it is about him, he has, you know, some former employees, they want to, you know, go after him. And a lot of things, some of it wasn't true, but you definitely had some disgruntled former employees that assisted in the article. And so far as you saw people following each other on social media, with the editor of the piece, the writers, it was a lot. Mm. And I know we're not going to go too far with this, but there was a lot of stuff that went on as far as, you know, people with an agenda. And sometimes you make enemies and you make powerful enemies. And then you have a magazine that was upset. They lost, but they had a very cozy relationship with Bill O'Brien. They didn't like that Bill was gone. They didn't like they lost the PR director, Amy Palsik, that was close to them, and you know they participated in multiple stories. But that said, when you do have that much an article, there is something there, and very unpopular. And with the fan segment, I mean, there was like people that were picketing it over at NRG Stadium, and they were chanting "Fire Jack." And it was, that was a lot. But I can tell you this: the owner and his family, they love him and they are backing him, and he's not going anywhere. So what I'm told is tough. And the owner said it. You know, in fact, he told my colleague, John McClain, that, you know, he's staying, he's not quitting. I'm not firing him. He's going to work for us. And yeah, he's integral to what they're doing. And he's very close to Nick Caserio. Him and Nick have the same agent, Bob Lamont. And yeah, the people don't like some things that happen. One other thing they did was they pissed off their search firm. And a lot of people don't understand. The search firm, I don't really understand, because he got paid $600,000, Jed Hughes. And then you have, even though he hasn't put his name on it, you have a lot of discontent about the search firm and why didn't they pick this guy and why didn't they follow him. That's like if you hire a headhunter, you tell him, well, I don't really like the names you gave me. You don't have to use them. I just didn't really understand that. So I think that stuff from some of the national media has been ridiculous, because it's really obvious. But I've had a lot of people tell me, like, well, why would I ever want to use Corn Ferry if I'm another team? Because you can't trust them. There's no confidentiality. They just blab. They didn't listen to me. Nobody has to listen to the search firm. Yeah. And by the way, the search firm is the ones that got them Bill O'Brien, which, you know, why did they use that search firm again? Because, you know, Bill gave them some, you know, some wins and some divisional titles, but they're the only team that's never made the AFC Championship game in the South Division. So,
hey, Aaron, we got to get going. I just curious here real quickly. You think Eric Bieniemy will be the next head coach of the Texans? Yes or no?
It's hard to predict that. I think he's in the mix along with Leslie Frazier, Matt Eberflus. Those are some of the names that I've been told. They're a long way from saying that Eric will get the job. So I'm not comfortable making that prediction. I would just say that he's in the mix and he's under consideration.
Aaron, thank you, man. We really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us talking about all the problems over there. Hopefully it gets worked out. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
Hey, man, we're going to go from that, Aaron, to a little Brandon Lang out of Vegas to get you going and hopefully pick some winners for us, man. And we always have to start with this. Prepare yourself. If you're offended by strip club talk, then maybe you should disappear for about 10 or 15 minutes before you come back and join. But don't leave and don't be upset. It's okay, man. All right. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Hey, listen, this weekend I want you to get out with this great weather and enjoy a great South Florida Chevy experience. Yep, take some test drives. You're starting to look around. Your lease is up. Let me see. You want something that looks real good? Got a lot of space. Safety feature is important to you and your family. And obviously a great price that you can afford. Bam! South Florida Chevy dealers got it, man. The 2020s into the now 2021s is looking real good. Can I give you some of my favorites, including the new look Tahoes and Suburbans? Sporty look. Been crazy good so far. I know you're going to love it. And let me just throw in the 2021 Trailblazer. Oh, yeah, it's got a beautiful look, too, but it's got all that space for you. Matter of fact, the midsize SUVs, whether it's a Blazer, an Equinox, a Traverse, I know you're going to love it. So even if you like something a little smaller, I like my Tahoe, but if you want something smaller, a little easier for you to get around, and you still need that space, and that's what you're going to get, plenty of space, feel comfortable for that family of yours. And the Silverado trucks have never looked better, never had more to choose from than you're going to get, strong, durable, and ready for you to come down and take a test drive. Hey, no excuses this weekend. Nope, not at your South Florida Chevy dealer. We got locations in Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. So go down there, take some test drives, get a great deal, and fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
Joe, it's Friday. Still football going on.
Oh, I know what time it is.
Time to hopefully make some money this weekend. We're going to bring on our boy Brandon Lang on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Believe in the Football Betting Show podcast. You can listen to that or BrandonLang.com. Brandon, happy Friday to you. Happy championship football weekend to you also.
Yeah, man, good weather down here in New Orleans. I've been outside, parked outside Jared Cook's house like all week just waiting for him to come home. I got to go.
I got to know.
You know, he's sitting over there on the bench with Michael Thomas. Oh, my God. We can't go up to Green Bay and beat them next week. I'm tired of these COVID tests and Q-tips up my nose every day. We can't beat Green Bay, and I don't like the snow. I know you done your job. You said, I get no catches today. We lose this game. And Drew Brees had to go score for the third quarter to put us up 20-13. Then we get a stop. Then we get the ball back, and I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and I'm like, we don't want to go to Green Bay. I don't like the snow. Put me in warm weather. I'm going to Cabo. I got the hose and the Coke and all. I got it.
You're a bad man.
We about to go up 27-13, game over. Listen, worst case scenario, we going to go up 23-13, game over. Then we got to go up to Green Bay. We all cold and snow. We can't win that game. So I said, you know what? I'm going to fumble. But did you like the way I fumbled? It bounced right up to the guy. He can run it back to the 40. That's what I do. My name is Jared Cook, and I made sure that my COVID test is over. I can go on vacation, and I didn't have to go play in the snow. Because I tell you right now, if I don't fumble, we going to win that game and go get blasted by Green Bay. So that's what I got to say about it.
Oh, man.
Unreal. I was going to go 3-1 over the weekend. And Dan Cook said, Brandon Lang, can you go to Cabo with me and teach me how to play golf? I can't hold on to the brown football, but that little white ball, I think I'm going to be okay. This brother, are you I can't teach you how to play golf, Jerry, because you can't play dead in a Western. Okay, let's make sure we're clear on that. For the love of God. But, all right, so this is what we got. We got Tampa Bay now and another Brady, Tampa Bay, and yeah. KC Buffalo. I'm still stumbling. I cannot.
Boy, that one hurt you. That one hurt you. I couldn't believe it.
Just the stupidity of it. Joe, you're a tight end.
what's your tight ends coach teach you when you go over the middle and you got a defender trailing you?
I just got to tell you, it wouldn't even be the fumbling part. It would be walking off the field and letting Don Shula, you know what's coming, and he doesn't care if the cameras are on you or not. You are getting MF to death going off if you fumble. Not a big fan of fumble, especially on running backs, but anybody. Hold on to the effing ball. What are you doing? He might have followed you all the way to the bench as you're trying to get away from him just to make sure he made his point. So I get it.
It makes you wonder, is Sean Payton really one of the most overrated coaches? I said last week, Mike Ditka, Mike Tomlin, and now Sean Payton, three of the most overrated coaches in the NFL. Think about the year they went to the Super Bowl. They don't go if Brett Favre runs for the first down in overtime, which would have put them at the 32, and now they're in field goal range. But it was 3rd and 6 from the 38, and they didn't want to try a 55-yard field goal. So Favre rolls out, and he can run for the first down, and he throws back across his body, gets picked off. Saints go down, kick the field goal. They go beat Indy in the Super Bowl. So you take that play from Brett Favre. We're not talking Drew Brees and Sean Payton have a Super Bowl together. Then they implode, bad call against the Rams. I get it, pass interference. Should have blew them out. Shouldn't let them hang around, you know? Minnesota, Diggs, another gut-wrenching shot last year.
Ouch.
Losing to Minnesota. Every year this guy just somehow, and listen, it wasn't his fault. Jared Cook didn't want to go to Green Bay and had plans to go to Cabo in a big mansion with all kinds of craziness. Absolutely. Listen, Jared, get your freak on, bro. Go get your freak on, Jared.
You know what?
Have a great offseason.
You know the thing, though? I thought Drew Brees looked terrible. Didn't look like he had juice in his arm. Just didn't.
Yes. But I had arguments with people all week. Everything that happened after that fumble is irrelevant to Drew Brees' game. He came out in the third quarter. They made adjustments, went and scored. Got a stop, got the ball back. They're going to go score again. And he did his job. He's about to put his team up 27-13 or 23-13. He has done his job. So now there was a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. So they're at the third. Let's say Cook doesn't fumble. They're at the 37. Okay, so they're going to take another 3.5, 4 minutes off the clock. Worst case scenario, 23-13, 12 minutes to go fourth quarter. Are the Bucs going to be able to go the length of the field twice against this defense when they hadn't done it all game, two field goals?
Right.
Remember, their three scoring drives were 10 yards, 3 yards, 40 right. yards off the fumble. So he takes the field not needing to go score a touchdown to win. He takes the field just needing to pick up first downs and close out the game. So your game plan, your play calling is completely different than now he has to take the field. And he says to himself, I did my job. I was about to put us up two scores. Now he had to force it. And then here came the two fumbles and everybody goes crazy. And Jared Cook, as crazy as this sounds, this New Orleans team was snake bit from the very beginning of the season. And I think I came on your show and said that there's got to be some backlash to Drew Brees saying what he said about Kaepernick and Malcolm Jenkins coming out and splitting the locker room right in the beginning of the season. And it caught, there was no real cohesiveness with this team all year long. I think the locker room was split all year, and now they can split and go their separate ways in the offseason.
Well, let's jump into these games. What are your thoughts coming up here?
I think the whole world's betting Green Bay. And what I learned last week is Tampa Bay had no right winning that game, had no right covering that game. But guess what? They did. So as great as Aaron Rodgers has been, guys, I'm just not sold on Green Bay's defense. I'm just not. As crazy as that sounds, their offense is great. I get it. Their offense is unbelievable. But for whatever reason, their offense doesn't match up with Tampa Bay. And they don't. It's a fast Tampa Bay defense. They play zone. Rodgers struggles against zone. Does Green Bay win the game? Probably. But you're getting Tom Brady plus more than a field goal. And he showed you last week he doesn't make mistakes. And if he doesn't make mistakes, he's 18-0 straight up in the playoffs. And he wins the tournament.
How about that?
Listen to this. 18-0 straight up in the playoffs in his career when he wins the turnover battle.
Wow.
So if he doesn't turn it over, you're not beating him. So, and the one thing that Bruce, no risk it, biscuit finally learned, give Tom a running game and he's hard to beat. And they ran the ball great last week against a really good run defense. And they figured out how to get in the end zone, granted off the turnovers, against a really good defense. And I think the defense they're playing this week is a step down. They gashed him for 180 the first meeting. They beat him 38-10. Aaron will have more success in this game. Devontae Adams is coming back in that game down in Tampa. But at the end of the day, I just think you can't pass up taking Tom Brady plus 3.5.
Wow. Brandon, the other game, Buffalo-KC, it's going to be a good matchup. But my question to you is, and I think I've asked you this in the past years ago, how much does a quarterback move the line up or down, especially a really good quarterback? I think the question I asked you years ago is about Brady in the playoffs with New England. But now with Patrick Mahomes, I think he's going to play, or we all think he's going to play. But if he didn't and Chad Henne did, how much could that move the line when, you know, right before kickoff if we find out Chad Henne is going to be the starter?
I say it goes down to a pick'em. Basically saying Buffalo wins the game if they don't have Mahomes. Right. I think it's a big mistake. Here's the thing about Buffalo. Give them credit for the run they went on, and if not for the Hail Mary against Arizona, we'd literally be talking about a team that, since their loss to the Chiefs, never lost another game all year.
Yeah. Jeez.
Wow. Right.
Undefeated. Now, if you break down the wins, any of these teams I'm about to name, are they in the class of the Chiefs? Jets?
Nope.
Patriots?
Nope.
Seattle?
Nope.
Arizona?
Nope.
Chargers? Niners? Pittsburgh? Denver? New England? Miami?
Nope. Let me go nope playoffs on the last one.
Okay, so Phillip Rivers shreds them in the second half and basically runs out of time from winning that game. And if Lamar doesn't throw the pick and that game gets 10-10, boy, that gets real dicey. It's been a great run. But at the end of the day, all you need to know about, if you go against Kansas City in this game, they don't flinch. And they got a coach who on 4th-and-1 and the biggest play of the year decides to throw it. Who does that? That is having supreme now listen, I've said for years, and Andy Reid is a compulsive overeater, and a lot of times he's coaching in a food coma, and pizza at halftime, Krispy Kreme donuts, the cream of the custard sauce, I don't know. But I don't know if you're standing on that sideline and he's sitting there thinking, did I get a Meat Lovers at halftime, or did I just go cheese today? And those Krispy Kreme donuts better be there, because I'm going to convince myself to run my $500 million quarterback on a bad foot on 3rd-and-1. So I think sometimes the sugar coma gets in his way. And then once he digested all his food from halftime, he thought clearly on the 4th-down play. So you never know what you're going to get with Andy. But for me, the value of the number, 3rd straight AFC championship game, I just think this game comes down to Steve Spagnuolo versus Josh Allen. He's going to see a real defensive coordinator with championship experience who beat the 18-0 Patriots. And he's going to – what's lost in the shuffle, guys, and nobody's really talking about it, is Kansas City's defense, they still held Cleveland to 17 points last week. They still made plays when they had to make plays. They held Matt Ryan in an Atlanta offense that was averaging 29 points a game to 14, second to last game of the year. They held Drew Brees in New Orleans down. I think they got 10 points in the fourth quarter. They held Tampa Bay down to, I think Tampa Bay had 10 points with 7 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. This team went into New Orleans and won, went into Tampa Bay and won. I don't see Buffalo doing that. So for me, the value of the number, I believe in my heart, Mahomes plays. There's no way they keep him out of this game. And if it does, I don't know how the line doesn't go to 4.5. So I would – and listen, as crazy as it sounds, if Chad Henne plays, I would still play Kansas City in the game. I just think that meeting – here's why. In that meeting week 6 up in Buffalo, they gave up – Kansas City went to Buffalo and ran for 246 yards on them. So if you can't stop the run, I don't care – I don't care. I'll take Joe Rosen having played quarterback for Kansas City on Sunday, and I'd still take him at +7. That's probably the line.
That's a mistake. That's a big mistake. You're good, but that's not a good move.
Listen, because if you have a running game, anybody can play quarterback in the NFL. Anybody. If you have the threat of the play action. If Buffalo has to commit an 8th out of the box to stop the run against these receivers, it's over. I don't care who's quarterbacking. Yeah. It's over. So I think the value of the number – you can't go against KC.
Brent, always great having you, man. Thank you so much. Way to stir it up, too. I'm sure that text machine is rocking and rolling this morning. Thank you, bud.
I'm going to Cabo with Jared Cook. All right, guys. Have a good week.
Brandon Lang joining us. BrandonLang.com and the Believe in the Football Betting Show podcast and the Believe Podcast Network.
All right, we got to go to break here. Get all caught up. Mike Florio, another guy that gets it rocking and rolling, going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll check in on the text machine. We'll get everybody's thought on those two games. Find out what you guys are thinking. We'll be right back for 9 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.